T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The fact, like you talked about, Joe, what he means to the community, one of the better defensive players, all the different other things around that, you max this guy out, you don't insult him. I think it's insulting, and I think we look at it and say, oh, well, he can take this and bring in other players. No, these guys are grown men. They understand, just like Trout and these guys didn't have to get these huge contracts, but the owners knew the importance of making these guys happy and the importance of overpaying whatever it may be. They understand economics. And Klay Thompson makes economical sense to keep butts in the seats and keep that place sold out because of what he's done. And I think that's why he should be a max player. It shouldn't even be a question.
Rule number two in Las Vegas. What do you do if you're on a heater? Can anyone answer that?
Stay on it.
You stay on the heater.
You stay on the heater.
Rule number two in Las Vegas, if you're on a heater,
stay on the heater. Go with it.
The Warriors are on the heater. They will never, and I guarantee this, and you can mark the tape, they're never going to experience this ever again because this doesn't happen ever again. You think UCLA is ever going to experience what happened in the 70s ever again? You think the Celtics are ever going to experience their run ever again? No. These are once-in-a-lifetime runs. That doesn't mean you can't win championships ever again, but you're never going to be able to do it like this. You're never going to have a run like this where people talk about how you destroyed the league, you ruined the league. You literally start every season with people saying it's over. They don't do that in football. The Patriots are one of the most dominant forces. The Patriots are actually the most dominant force the NFL has ever seen. And you do not walk into the season saying the Patriots are winning the Super Bowl. Most of us don't even pick the Patriots to win the AFC every year. I can't remember the last time I picked them to win the AFC. Yet they always win the AFC, right? You don't go into baseball every year saying it's a foregone conclusion. It's not. You can go ahead and target Boston, but a lot of people still like Houston last year. 2 years ago, not everyone was back in Houston. Cleveland and the Cubs, sure, people were on the Cubs a little bit there, but they were on the Cubs for serious years. This is the only sport outside of college football where at the beginning of the season, you're basically like, there's no chance for anyone else barring crazy injuries to all the players. You are on the heater of a lifetime. You don't mess around with it over negotiating or trying to prove a point. Klay Thompson's deal is coming up. You max him out. You max him out because you're on a heater. You don't get up from the table and go over and see what's happening at the pool. You double your action and then you triple your action. And eventually, if you go bust, so what? You look back and where in Vegas, you might be out of cash. Here, you still have all the rings and a brand new Chase Center. And you are going to be able to parade Klay Thompson out from now until the day he dies. Klay Thompson will always be a Warrior. Klay Thompson night will be a huge event every single year. You don't think every year after his retirement, you can't throw a Klay Thompson night against the worst team in the league and sell that building out so that people can come see Klay? And you put him on the mic for a couple minutes, and he probably says something goofy, and everyone goes nuts. And everyone remembers the good times. You throw a montage up there of the Claymaker game and the Sacramento game and all of his great moments. Like, you're able to ride that forever. You're on the heater of all heaters right now. You don't need to worry about $5 to $10 million on this salary or that salary. You just max him out. You send the message. Because I tell you, at the very least, Mike Trout, he feels valued by the Angels.
Yeah.
He feels valued. That's what you do. You either take care of the people that matter most to you, or you don't. You try to save a few bucks. And if you end up saving a few bucks, you probably end up like, you know, like the Philadelphia Eagles were in the early 2000s. We'll work this deal here. We'll work this deal there. We'll get good. We'll get to the NFC Championship, but we won't get all the way. Just push your chips in.
I just don't think that having him sign for less than the max is disrespectful, per se. I don't think that it's forcing him out, or I don't think that it's tarnishing the legacy if you give him less than the max, because there's an amount that other teams can give him, and then there's the max, and it's about a $50 million gulf between the two. So for me, you can bridge that gap. You can bring him closer to the max, and that's not disrespectful, and it doesn't do anything to tarnish the legacy. I am curious, Joe, about rule number one in Vegas, not just because I'm going tomorrow. Rule number two is, when you're on a heater, stay on a heater. What's rule number one?
Stay hydrated.
Oh, Makes perfect sense.
Might not be the most exciting of rules.
No, did you know where he was going with that?
Is that not the most important of rules?
No question.
Genius.
You already thought that out.
The genius is that someone thought to follow up. I was sitting here and I had 5-1 odds that someone would actually follow up. That's why I said rule number two. Usually I have rules for everything and it's always rule number one.
Yeah.
I've got a million rule number ones and no one's ever called me on it. I specifically did this as rule number two in the hope someone would bait me in the rule number one. Round of applause for you, Dibs, for doing
that. Thank you.
That's an astute listener.
It's really a selfish listener because I am going to Vegas in about 21 hours, and so I'm trying to get all my rules, all my Fortinbaugh picks, my low hot suggestions. Ellis Island, I know, is going to be one of my stops.
Yes.
For sure. I gotta pop over and see the good people at the island.
Stop. What's wrong with you?
I'll give you my guide.
Coach, you know what's wrong with me.
It's a beautiful place.
You got such a great plan. Why you want to go to...
Why would you do that to my place?
Because on Saturday...
First of all, it's my place. Yeah, that's my town.
Exactly. But
Ellis Island, though.
If things get rough on Saturday...
You look like O'Neal for crying out loud.
Hey, I'm a man of the people.
A lot happens on Koval back there. A lot happens on Koval. We saw old Toothless Joe.
That's a t-shirt. If you live in Vegas, that's a t-shirt. A lot happens on Koval.
We saw old Toothless Joe right there walking around. Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
What happens on Koval sleeps on Koval.
My goodness. That's a strong take.
Good stuff. You know what? The phones are starting to light up. The Klay Thompson deal in light of $430 million going to Mike Trout. Do you even want to see the Warriors try anything other than a max offer to Klay? The number's open. 888-957-9570. In addition, we got to ask you this. After last night, and based on what they've done the last 2 weeks, do you consider the San Antonio Spurs a serious threat to the Warriors in the West? That will be coming up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
After the Dubs' tough shooting night against the Spurs, Jolo and Dibs talk to Warriors legend Rick Barry at 9:30.
The Warriors have not usually had any kind of a problem with that, with guys who are worried about themselves more than the team.
It's another early tip-off as the Warriors battle the Minnesota Timberwolves at 5.
Curry, it's a 3, and it's good! It's money in the bank. Some cold, hard cash for Curry.
Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 3:30 on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Brave new world we're living in these days, people. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Greg Papa coming up in about 13 minutes. Mike Trout, good God. If you haven't seen the news, Jeff Passan from ESPN. The Angels and Mike Trout are closing in on a 12-year contract worth more than $430 million. Yeah, I said it, $430 million. One less year than Bryce Harper, $100 million. More than Bryce Harper. Oh, by the way, Harper was a free agent. Trout still has 2 years left on his current deal. Scott Boras. Woo, not looking too good today,
no,
Scotty.
No.
Trout's agent's going to be the next big thing if he isn't already. Join Damon Bruce and myself tonight, 5 to 7 p.m. at BMW in San Francisco for their 5th annual Ultimate Bracket Challenge. Enjoy food and drinks, plus a chance to win $1 million for a perfect bracket. You're going to get tips from the pros on how to fill out your bracket with 95.7 The Game and BMW San Francisco. Full details on our website at 95.7thegame.com. As always, hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, if you'd like to get involved. Series of questions. Based on that news, $430 million for Mike Trout. How do you view the situation with Klay Thompson heading in the free agency? Dibs has made an interesting point that you don't open by giving him the max. Maybe you come in for a little bit less. You do some negotiating. You set a precedent. You're not just going to hand out the max deal. You got to talk about it for a little bit. I could see that. Lowe's made the case that you come out, you offer him the max, you get it done, you move on. You send the message. Where do you land? 888-957-9570. That plus, how do you think people are viewing the Spurs after last night? I've made quite a few jokes about them. I don't want to see them in the first round. I find them boring, but they have won 9 straight. They've won 11 straight at home. This is their 22nd consecutive winning season. And, yeah, they're just playing really strong, solid basketball after beating the Warriors last night. by a final score of 111-105. You personally believe this team could be more of a challenge than people are giving them credit for.
No question. And for us to just think this is going to be a one and done, the Spurs, they're weak, and they're just going to get one round in the playoffs and they'll probably get beat. I don't see it. I don't see Houston beating these guys in a seven-game series. If you think about it, they're only two back of Houston. You know, they're one back of Portland Trail Blazers. This team is playing well. Yesterday we talked about what's going to happen. We talked about San Antonio. We talked about the consistency. But that's what they are. They're a team that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. No, do they have a bunch of bona fide superstars? No. But they are a system-based team, and Greg Popovich, the way that he runs that system and the buy-in he gets, and he makes guys play at both ends of the floor. You look at the defensively, they're playing way better defense. You saw DeRozan's. My God, here's a guy that everyone says he's up, down, can he play? He's playing with a lot more tenacity. Klay Thompson had some perfect defense on him, and you saw the guy still being patient, able to elevate, get Klay up at times and also make the shot, and Klay was playing great defense on him. So you look at this team and see what they're about. You see how consistent they are. I like this team. I like what they're doing. And, Joe, you just alluded to what 8 out of 9 games they won, and they have beat some formidable opponents. So I like what they're doing.
Warriors, Nuggets, Bucks, Thunder, man. Blazers, and Pistons, who up until just recently had been really hot.
Absolutely. So we cannot just – I think it's foolish for people just to dismiss this thing and say, oh, they don't have any talent. It's wrong.
It's not
religion, church, pew, seat.
No, I've been there all along. I mean, I'm the guy who said that the Warriors would lose more than 3.5 games through the Western Conference playoffs, so I'm not one who has dismissed anyone, whether it's San Antonio, Houston, OKC, Utah, Denver. You see a Western Conference that's far deeper at the top than it's ever been before. And you look at San Antonio, and this is something that the Warriors are going to have to look at in the playoffs is that second unit. What happens in the second quarter of games? You saw it last night. The second unit comes in, and before Steph Curry could come back on the floor, Golden State was a -5. All of a sudden, you've got a deficit, and you don't manage the end of the half properly, and you go into the locker room, and you're down 11. Instead of being down 5 or 6, you kind of gacked it at the end of that second quarter. And you look at Rudy Gay, what he does for that second unit, and Patty Mills, when they go to that team off the bench, Marco Bellinelli, a guy who can score, versus the Warriors reserves, that's where I think, as you look into the playoffs, I know you're going to shorten the rotations and all that, but in that second quarter, it's going to be a trouble spot for this Warrior team.
Spurs are well-coached. Spurs are talented. These are facts that don't even need to be discussed. They're just out there, and they need to be widely accepted. What's not discussed is that of the 16 teams, 8 in the West, 8 in the East, that currently are qualifying for a playoff spot, the Spurs offer the worst road record of the group. They are 13-22 on the road this season. They're not even close. Like, they have had a hell of a time playing away from San Antonio this season. That is not a good sign. That is not a good sign in any sport. You do not want to have an awful road record. Good teams. One of the few hallmarks of good professional sports teams is their ability to go into someone else's building, onto someone else's diamond, someone else's field, and beat them. And do it on a somewhat consistent basis. You always want to look for that in the NFL. That's what separates the haves from the have-nots. Year in, year out, good playoff teams, good Super Bowl contenders can go away from home and find ways to win games. Spurs are 13-22 on the road this year. I can't get over that. It's the worst of all the Western Conference playoff teams right now. It's the worst of all playoff contenders that currently have a seed. That's the one thing that stands out to me. The Warriors get 4 of 7 games in their own building. I could see a scenario where they get a spirited effort from San Antonio, but they beat them twice out of the gate. They go down to Texas. They take 1 of 2. You're coming back for game 5 up 3-1. It's pretty much done. That's the biggest problem facing the Spurs. But that doesn't mean they're not a formidable opponent, at least for someone else. I don't see them as a one and done this year. Right now,
right, that's
given
right.
The current state of the Western Conference, they're a 5. Portland's a 4. Anyone feel confident in Portland beating the Spurs after what we saw happen to Portland against New Orleans last year?
No, and Portland's the other Western Conference playoff team with a losing record on the road as well at 17-18. Only the Spurs and the Blazers among the 8 playoff teams have that losing record on the road. To me, Portland, you might as well play in Missouri because you're going to have to show me before I put any stock in the Portland Trailblazers. So as far as matchups, favorable matchups for the Spurs go, that's probably the most favorable for them in the first round.
How about this? Pop in 6 minutes, but based on what happened last night, the Western Conference got reseeded. Imagine this for your opening round matchups. Tell me who says no. Warriors, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz, Rockets, Thunder, Blazers, Spurs.
That's about perfect.
Given the fact that the Kings are six games back of the Clippers, everyone who's currently in the playoffs in the West is going to the playoffs. It's going to take a real fluke. That's a, all things considered, that's the best possible matchup, right? You get the Rocky Mountain showdown between Utah and Denver. You get the Rockets and the Thunder, which is an outstanding first-round matchup. Blazers, Spurs, I can get behind that. I can get behind that. And you got DeMar DeRozan going up against McCollum, who actually he's banged up, and Lillard. LaMarcus Aldridge, there's the rumor that Aldridge and Lillard want to reunite at some point. Aldridge might want to go back to Portland to play with Lillard, so you got that angle. And then you got Warriors-Clippers, which, honestly, what kind of first-round matchup are the Warriors going to get that's going to get you that excited? The Clippers, at the very least, very spunky as of late.
They can line it up.
Very spunky. They have not gone away. They're winning a lot of basketball games. I kind of like them tonight, laying the points over Indiana. Just going to throw that out there. Indiana has lost six straight on the road, and they just played last night at Portland. Lost that game by eight, I believe. They're getting beat last six on the road by an average of about 9 points per game. Just throwing it out there. Just, you know.
And if you're a Warrior fan, you're excited about that road as far as where you would possibly go through. Short of Portland, I mean, the Clippers would be your number one playoff destination.
Yeah.
Portland would probably be two, just for proximity and travel, because we know last night, and we can ask Greg Papa about this, the 2.5 hour flight to Minnesota from San Antonio and exactly what those flights do to the body, the rigors of three games and four nights, etc. I know the playoff games are more spaced out, but you know this Warrior team would love to have a couple of days down in L.A. Imagine if you go down there up 2-0 and you win game three and you have a couple of days before game four. Give me some enjoyment down there. You're going to bring your clubs. If you're Steph, you're going to play Riviera. If you're Steve Kerr, you're going to head out to the beach and enjoy some R&R during the playoffs.
Absolutely. A couple calls before Papa. Let's go to Tom and Benicia. Tom, thank you for the phone call. You're on with Joe Lo and Dibs. What's up? Hey, Tom.
Appreciate it. Hey, guys, appreciate you getting me on here. Just wanted to talk a little bit about Klay Thompson's max contract idea, right, which is, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we know the Warriors is a world-class culture, you know, in their organization, right? That really starts at the contract table, right? So rather than, you know, coming in and treating it like a negotiation and saying, you know, hey, we're going to give you just go straight to the max, or hey, we're going to give you a little bit less than the max, or whatever. You just make it a conversation. You sit down with like three different packages, and you put it on Clay, right? You basically just say, hey, look, you know, this is the amount of money we've got to spend over the next few years. We're having a budgetary conversation. You put some amount of you know, max contract or package together, and basically, you know, let him know what we're going to be able to do around you with the extended organization as a result of, you know, this package being in play. And then here are a couple of other options, right? If we do this second option that's a little bit less than the max, maybe more guaranteed money or more upfront, you know, whatever. And based on that, we can do a little bit more with the team around you. We got more extension capabilities for some of these other players. And you really just make it a conversation. And at that point, you know, it's not an affront to Clay to say, hey, we're not giving you a max. You're just kind of letting him know that, like, hey, it's up to you. We'll do whatever you want.
Are you doing that with KD, sir? Are you going to do that with KD, too?
Thanks for the call, Tom. We appreciate it. And all the good people in Benicia.
Nice, quaint little town out there.
It's a great town.
On the water. Some great food spots.
Beautiful old town. One of the oldest baseball parks, too, I believe, in California. It dates to the early 1900s. Oh, old wooden bleachers.
Wasn't it one of the state's original, not original, capital?
Indeed, as we
fun
bring
facts.
It all home for the good people in Benicia.
Hashtag FF, fun facts.
Wow.
Fortinball fun facts, FFF. If I do it on Friday, Fortinball's Friday fun facts.
A lot of Fs.
Quad F.
Sounds like my first semester of junior year. A lot of Fs.
Sounds like what Lowe's driving, a quad F.
Needed that.
Do you know how a lot of these deals get done, and then a guy like Peter King comes out and goes, I have the story of how the deal got done. He has it in his Monday column about how the trade went down for Beckham and the Browns, right? The great reporters get that story because people like those stories. Here's the story I want to read somewhere down the line about the Clay negotiations this offseason with Joe Lacob. Clay and his representation go to meet Lacob somewhere nice, whether it's a restaurant, some private club here in the city, wherever it may be, it's somewhere nice. And Clay and the agent go to sit down. They're all prepared. And Lacob's sitting there. And he has a cigar, a bottle of champagne, whatever. Joey Lightyears is just living the dream. They go to sit down. How you doing? You shake hands. You want to order anything? You want anything to drink? Blah, blah, blah. They place the order. And Lacob reaches down and he picks up, whatever, 5, 6, 20 pages. I don't know what this thing looks like. And he throws it down on the table. He goes, that right there is a max deal. Max years, max money. The only thing that's not in it is a no trade. You're not getting a no trade because Steph didn't get a no trade. What would you like to order for dinner? And that's it. You move on. And if Clay decides, you know what, maybe we have a conversation about taking a little bit less because I want to help facilitate some other star power, you put that ball in his court. And then you go ahead and say, all right, waiter, we're going to need a few more minutes. Got to study the menu a little bit more here. My friend has thrown a wrench into the mix. But you're obviously dining at some fine place. What are they going to do, run you? No. The waiter's going to put an egg in his shoe and beat it, and you're going to have plenty of time to discuss this. Point being, that's what I want to read the story as. Something where they all lit up cigars and started laughing. They didn't have to haggle over any of this because you're the Golden State Warriors. You are the diamond standard of NBA franchises. You don't haggle. You get it done when it comes to guys like that. You can haggle with, you know, Bogut when you bring him back because, you know, maybe you have to figure something out there. But by and large, with those guys, you got to take care of them. The Greg Popper Report is brought to you by Gelati Construction Company, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. The great Greg Papa joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Pop, 12 years, $430 million for Mike Trout. I want to talk to you about the Warriors, but I had to throw this out there first. What were you thinking when you heard the news?
Wow. I mean, he blew past Bryce Harper by $100 million. How much of that money is deferred? Do we know?
Not yet. We do not know yet.
I think that's the key because Harper, none of it's deferred. He gets the $330 over a 13-year period, and the offer that Mike Rizzo and the Nationals had at the end of last year was 10 years for $300 million, but it was $100 million deferred. And from what Bryce said, I mean, deferred out for many, many years when he would be an old man. It would be more of his ancestors' money. So I think that's the key. What is that average? I haven't even looked at it. I'm still thinking about the Warriors game last night. Well, what's the average annual value on that?
If you add it into the 2 years he already has, it's a 35.83 over the next 12. So just shy of 36 milski. It's roughly, I think, 50 grand per plate appearance, Pop.
Well, he's a good player. So they're not going to tear up his existing deal. They're going to add 2 more years on to the existing, or add the years on to the
existing. Yeah, they're going to add the 10 years on to the current 2, which the current 2 sit at about $34 million a year. So really, it's not much more than a cost of living increase.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously, I think there's no question he's the best all-around player in the game because he plays center field. He reminds me so much of Mickey Mantle, although I didn't see Mickey play. Watched a lot of highlights of Mickey Mantle and just the way he ran. And Mickey even was deprived of his speed as a younger player. He played a corner outfield, right field with DiMaggio in center, and he hit a sprinkler head, and he couldn't run the way he could when he was younger. But Trout, just the way he carries himself, I have been on the field a lot, listen to him take batting practice. He's one of those guys. The bat speed that he generates, along with Bryce Harper, Giancarlo, there are a couple of, you know, special players that remind you of a Bonds. But he's a center fielder, and it just makes it different in the ability to run. This is probably going to be on the East Coast kind of a major disappointment. I think the Yankees always felt as though, because he's so much like Mickey Mantle, that he would play a portion of or a chunk of his career in pinstripes, but that's not going to happen unless they make a monumental trade, which could happen. Now, what has he got as far as the no trade? I assume it's a full no trade clause, huh?
There are no opt-outs. We got that detail, but that's
no
the only one that surfaced. Yes, no opt-outs.
And I assume a player like him, he would either have a complete no trade or, you know, a list of teams he would accept a trade to, but probably a full no trade. I know Philadelphia was talking about getting him, but there's no way you could have that kind of outfield when you got Bryce Harper making the coin he makes and then add Mike Trout. But it's something that the A's are obviously going to have to deal with for the next dozen years or so and figure out a way to get this guy out.
Pop, Andrew Bogut plays last night. What did you think about his performance? And what do you think kind of went wrong when you watched the Warriors game?
He was fine. You know, you got to keep into a, always keep in your mind what he went through. He flew to the Bay Area on Saturday. In fact, Saint's wife, MJ St. Jean, was house hunting with him in the East Bay. And he had a 15-hour flight to get there on Saturday. He was not planning on doing anything with the team until they came back off the road trip, and he was going to play against Miles Turner in Indiana on Thursday. And then Cousins has the right foot problem. It's more of an ankle, but that is a concern. That's something I've been talking about all year, the Achilles on the left side. A lot of athletes have issues on the other side of the body, lower body injuries, whether it's Sherman or Eric Berry in Kansas City with the Chiefs. So it did crop up. So they just summoned Bogut to fly. And I don't know if Joe Lacob got him a chartered airplane, but I had to make that trip too many times to mention. To go from Northern California to South Texas is hard. It's a long trip. He got there 5:30 on Sunday night, and he didn't go to shoot around on yesterday morning because he had to take his treadmill test to pass his last leg of his physical. He didn't have a shoot around. So, I mean, he's the only guy on the planet that could show up like this and just go play with the Warriors because he's been around them. But still, there were some awkward moments. Overall, he was fine. I'm at a 15-hour flight. The flight to San Antonio, I'm going to give him a tremendous break. But the movement skill that he exhibited last night is still a problem. And it's not that much better than DeMarcus Cousins. And Pop did go right at him. He created the switch where he had to guard DeMar DeRozan. And, I think ultimately, is he going to be someone who could take minutes away from Cousins and play better in that type of defense? I'm not sure. You know, whenever Bogut was a Warrior, the 4 years he was here, the first thing I looked at was the opening tip and just what kind of Bogut we got tonight. Is it a lively, springy Bogut? And right away, okay, good. If it's not, and it's the inert, lumbering Bogut, and the body just, you know, broke down on him. Yeah, he wasn't very effective those nights. And he has lost a lot of weight. Overall, he looked fine. He does set a really wide screen when he gets his legs real wide. He just takes people out. He knows how to play the game. Good passer. He gives you a little bit of the elevation, even though he's not a jumper. He's just so big and plays above the rim like that. He will help, but, again, I'm going to kind of just give it a pass because the travel was so excruciating. But I would have liked to have seen a little bit better movement skills on him to be able to get out and guard a guard and then be able to get back. I thought he was just okay.
Pop, you mentioned it on Warriors postgame last night. You're mentioning it now, and you've talked about it on your show before. But the idea tonight, or I should say last night, you finish up with the Spurs, you immediately board a plane, you fly 2.5 hours up to Minnesota. We hear about, time and time again, how that's an issue, something to look out for. What is the big problem with that, though, if you could explain for the listeners?
Well, they're tired. It's just it's just ridiculous. And I mean, when I was doing the Spurs games, and I did their games for 3 years, some of the travel that we had, I just hadn't thought. I mean, San Antonio's in South Texas. You're in damn near Mexico. I remember the first time we flew to Seattle, they said, flight's 4.5 hours. What? Would they move Seattle? How is it 4.5 hours? And that's in the same conference. So you had to make that trip a lot. Now, you wouldn't fly back-to-back. You wouldn't play at home in San Antonio and play the next night in Seattle. But it's just far. It's 2.5 hours. I thought it would be further to go from South Texas all the way to the upper Midwest to Minneapolis. It's hard. You know, I think that's one back-to-back they've got to look into eliminating. They've done a good job of eliminating, not eliminating, but certainly lessening these back-to-backs. You know, it used to be back-to-back day off, back-to-back. We used to play 4 games in 5 nights a lot, 5 games in 7 nights a lot. But this one element, and I also think, you know, any of the back-to-backs into Denver, I think need to be, I don't want to say flat out eliminated because it does make sense to go from Salt Lake City to Denver logistically, but those are hard. The Warriors had one of those early in the year, first trip of the year, wasn't it? They went from Utah to Denver, first loss of the year, the first weekend. So those are hard. I think you got to look at the altitude with that trip, but here, just the travel, the climate difference going from, I think it was 67 yesterday in San Antonio. What's it going to be in Minnesota? 37? I mean, it's a little bit jarring on your body. So it's hard. I mean, today, you know, they landed about 2 a.m. last night, Minnesota time. You're not going to get to sleep till 3:30 or so. So obviously no shoot around, nothing today. Maybe they'll have a meeting at the hotel when they get up. But they're probably not even up yet. You know, they'll be up in an hour or so. You try to sleep, but it's hard to sleep in hotels in the morning, especially if you're by an elevator and the light comes through. It's just hard. So it's just one of those days where you're not going to get through. You have to get through on a lot of sleep. Baseball players have to endure it a lot. I just can't recall ever having to do that, to go from San Antonio to Minnesota. The Warriors did do this the opposite a few years ago when Durant was hurt. Andrew Wiggins made a jump shot on the Friday night to beat him at the buzzer. And then the next night they flew to San Antonio for one of those ABC showcase games, primetime on Saturday night, and Steve benched everybody. He didn't play anybody because it was the end of a ridiculous two-week stretch. So, I mean, I know you're saying charter airplane, professional athletes, they're pampered, they're staying in five-star resorts. I get all that. But it is jarring on the body, and I think as the league has to look at, you know, even further minimizing the effects of these back-to-backs, the San Antonio to Minnesota one would be at the top of the list.
Two more back-to-backs to go for the Warriors, Dallas and Detroit at home this weekend, and then they've got the fourth at the Lakers and the fifth back home against Cleveland, so not too rugged. Pop, 7 years ago tonight, you had a little MC gig out at Oracle Arena. It was a halftime presentation on Chris Mullin night. That was 2012, March 19th of 2012. What are your memories of that unbelievable night where the fans turned on the ownership and really the owner stood his ground and set course for a team that would become a dynasty?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great weekend because Chris came back and we had several functions around the team. I really think part of it was Joe just felt a little bit uncomfortable around Chris. He said some things about Chris when Chris was the GM that Chris did not like. Now, they've made up since, and the run TMC and the group has been honored, but there was a little bit of a coolness in the air. I remember being at a couple of functions with Joe Lacob, and he was kind of off to the side from the rest of Chris's family and friends that were there. And then the events of the night, we were in Joe's suite watching the game. And if you recall, the Warriors were awful. I mean, just brutally terrible that night. Kevin Love went off. I forget the score at halftime, but the Warriors were, it was one of the worst games they had played. They were so bad. So it was just bad timing. And I remember they lined us all up in a hallway before we took the floor. And since I was the MC and Joe was the one that was going to present it, we were next to each other just in the hallway. And I spent, you know, time with him alone or, you know, kind of away from the group there, just in line. And he was just really nervous, really nervous. In fact, one time I just said to him, "What the hell are you doing? You're making me nervous. What are you so nervous about?" And I think he was nervous to give the speech. I think he... And he kind of, he was hemming and hawing a little bit. You know, we had him on Warriors pregame live. So they made the Monte trade, I think it was March 13th that year. And then we had, it was a Tuesday night. And we had him on Friday night. So whatever the date was, the 16th. And we were interacting with fans. We were talking about the trade to get Bogut. And he, nobody said anything. There was no animosity from the fans that you traded Bogut. There was no hostility towards him at all. So we had no idea that he was going to react this way. But when I, you know, after we introduced him and he went up, maybe it was the, you know, the feedback in the, because you hear your voice in an echo. And I kind of remember vaguely, I think I heard my own voice in an echo that night. He kind of stopped and he hemmed and hawed a little bit in his speech, and it gave the fans an opening to pounce. I think if he just would have gotten through it quicker, it may not have gone as bad. And then it just went, you know, completely sideways where he would pause when they would boo and he would not just continue through it. And then, you know, Rick Barry's giving me the eye like I should get up and try to save this train wreck. I'm like, I'm not going near that, Mike. And then Rick did, you know, in his own Rick Barry way, lobbying for a job. He got up there and tried to save it and made it actually worse. So I think there were, you know, it was the Monte trade. It was the, you know, the organization's goal to move the team to San Francisco, which they obviously are doing, and they had the announcement on the first event yesterday. And I think it was just, you know, if Joe had to look back on it, he probably wouldn't be the one doing it. It would be Al Addles that would do it, because Al's the one that actually drafted Chris. And if he did get up and said anything, he would just be a little more forceful in his delivery and not stop so much and pause. And maybe it was the echo, I don't know, but it gave the fans a chance to pounce. And once they started pouncing, they did not let up.
Pop, good memory. The Warriors were down 14 at the half. They did come back to make it a game, but they were down 14 at the half. Kevin Love went for 36 and 16.
They were down more than 14. I mean, at one point, go back and look at the end of the quarter, the the running of the game. They were down. It was an awful performance. They were down, I remember, they were down like 30. It was not good. They hardly had scored. I think they made a little run at the end of the half to make it a little more palatable, but it was not a good performance.
Came back to lose by four. In hindsight,
oh, great
good night.
Them. Great for them.
Bet you it was a cover.
covered the I knew Dibs would go that way. They covered.
Greg Papa with us here on 95.7 The Game. Catch him today, noon at 3 with Bonte Hill. Pop, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank God after the game they didn't trade Clay for Kevin Love. Thank God they didn't do that.
Yeah, man.
Or Luke Ridnour. He had 11 points and 10 assists that night.
Luke Ridnour.
Yeah,
Sean Oregon Duck.
Just dishing dimes. Oregon dishing dimes Duck. That night. Thanks, Pop.
Right. Take care, guys.
What a memory, by the way, of that, just being in the hallway and of the nerves of Lacob and Papa and the Rick Barry moment.
It's part of his greatness. Yeah. It's his memory. He has unbelievable recollection of not just the major moments, obviously. Most people can do that, but the minor details and then the ability to paint the picture for you. It's what makes him him. I got to disagree. Well, and I'm not going to disagree with one thing, but he's laying out the travel and he's talking about, you know, having the room near the elevator and all this. All right, let's back up just a little bit on how grueling life is in the NBA. This is not Vietnam, okay? The idea of flying from the Bay Area to Texas, yes.
South Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a flight with some length to it, okay? You're not flying to Europe, and you're not flying bombers over whatever Dunkirk trying to avoid the Nazi invasion as they make their push towards London, England, okay? Like, it's a flight to Texas, and he's probably flying first class. So it's not the end of the world. And to highlight this, Anthony Slater has a great article today on The Athletic, and it's about Andrew Bogut and, you know, meeting up with the team and talking with Steve Kerr. I want to read an excerpt from this because Dibs and I had a laugh over this morning. His wife and two young children don't arrive until next week. The Target trip could wait. Instead, he'd get swept off to La Quintera, a pristine resort on the northern outskirts of San Antonio, ushered back into the life of luxury he thought he left forever. There, next to the pool, Bogut first said hello to the front court Bash brothers, Draymond Green and Cousins, his former teammate and rival, playing dominoes on a shaded table. Neither went to the team dinner. Bogut did to see who he'd find. He was the first to arrive. La Quintera by the pool playing dominoes. And yet we consistently hear the, you know, it's a grind, it's a long season. It sounds like road life is okay. La Quintera by the pool.
Little bones is always necessary. Playing little bones, I'd like to get on that ivory.
I ain't mad at you. I'm just saying, the next time you try to sell me on how difficult life is, I'm reading a story about poolside at La Quintera. Y'all don't realize, you know, how tough this life on the road. I mean, I know that you're playing high-level basketball every night. I get that. But also, you know, you're not doing it by traveling around like a single-A baseball club on a bus. You're flying a charter flight, staying by the pool at a resort, a private cozy resort on the outskirts of San Antonio.
I'm not going to lie. I miss the meals. I mean, the food that you get, I mean, they just...
Talking about team meals.
Team meals and all the food.
According to the article, almost everyone skipped it. Steph was there. Yeah. Clay disappeared. Draymond didn't go. Like, they're good meals, huh?
Yeah, I mean, on the plane, even when you're flying, when you're charter, Joe, you get steak, lobster. I mean, those flights, man, even when you're on a football team, you
it's got to be tough to fly from the Bay Area to Texas eating steak and lobster in first class.
But you
just playing dominoes by the pool.
But, yeah. But you do get tight and all the travel.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's brutal, bro.
I'm not saying it's brutal, Joe. I'm just saying the mental. And then you got to go out there and guys are a little stiff and a little tight and focused.
That's
what rough. All it is.
Same thing. You didn't stretch before going into the jungle in Vietnam. You might get cramped up. You might cramp up out there.
Well, you probably should.
You got to stretch out.
I mean, you're probably going to be in the jungle for more than 34 minutes a night with copious amounts of TV timeouts. I don't know if they have TV timeouts in Dunkirk, for example.
You can't just call timeout and stroll on into the beach, man.
No one's just going to be chilling, shooting free throws, you know, shooting three where you can catch your breath on the lane.
We have tickets to give away, courtesy of you please. And Rick Tittle, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we do. It's the good people at Golazo Supremo, which is our soccer podcast, which drops virtually each and every week. This week, we're going to take a pass, getting ready for Champions League action.
Virtually every
week. It's a virtual. It's VW Joe virtually every week. We're going to give you about 45 a year. It's neither here nor there.
That's strong. That's a strong output.
We do have a pair of tickets to watch Mexico take on Paraguay Tuesday, March 26th. At Levi's Stadium as they kick off the 17th edition of the annual hashtag Mex Tour, M-E-X. For tickets and information, visit Ticketmaster.com. Great friendly down at Levi's a week from today. And, of course, don't miss the soccer podcast, Golazo Supremo, when it drops at 957thegame.com.
Shout out to Golazo Supremo these awesome tickets. We appreciate it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play two soccer calls for you. All right. If you can guess the commentator on the second call, it's not easy. You will win the tickets. Now, the first one we're going to play just for fun, just to get you in the move. Hit me with a good one.
La tiene por derecha, Altidor. Al área viene. Y cita por arquero. Con un gol.
That's my favorite.
Wow. Estados Unidos.
Was that happening from inside a beehive?
It's incredible.
Were those the vuvuzelas?
Every announcer that ever was was partly Sting and partly Buzzlow. You know that.
What's the Andres Cantor? Yes. I don't want to get the name wrong, but
the legend Andres Cantor. And I think that was Landon Donovan's famous goal. And you hear at the end, he says Estados Unidos, which is United States, after he does his full four goal calls. Just unbelievable. He's the legend in soccer.
All right. So we wanted to play that one to get you set. Now, if you can get the next one right, you got to tell us who's on the call here. If you can get the next one right, you're going to win the tickets that Dibs and Tittle are giving away, courtesy of their soccer pod, Golazo Supremo. And I know I'm not doing that justice.
No, you nailed it.
I'm trying my hardest.
You nailed it.
The contest number is 844-999-4263. 844-999-4263. 4263. Tell me who this is.
Serves it up to John. It goes free to Shea Salinas. Leaves
great
it.
Ball.
Cronin. Chip. Far post.
Yes! Yeah!
They score! Back to Belinda. Alan Gordon. Alan Gordon. 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 Alan Gordon. Alan Gordon. Mobbed by teammates in front of the Ultras. San Jose has scored back-to-back goals, and the California Clasico is again a Clasico.
The number is 844-999-4263. If you can name the Rube on that call, you will win the tickets.
That bum was one and done.
That is a great call. That is one of the all-time famous calls that we play on this program. So again, the contest line, 844-999-4263. Now, in case you thought we were done, we still got something else for you, plus a whole nother hour, too. And Rick Barry is going to join us to talk about the famous Chris Mullin night at 9:35. Happened 7 years ago today. But there was a famous story that we spent an entire show on last year, pretty much. And we asked a million questions. It was some of our finest work in terms of asking hard-hitting investigative questions. It turns out we've finally gotten the answer to some of these questions. For this story that is breaking, I turn it over to Anna. Anna, what story am I talking about?
All right, it happened a year ago. I can't believe it's already been a year. J.R. Smith was suspended by the Cavaliers for throwing soup at assistant coach Damon Jones. Now, Jones and Smith have both kept their mouths shut about the incident until now. Jones, no longer with the Cavs, appeared on ESPN's radio show Jalen Jacoby to give his side of the story. He said that JR threw the entire bowl of soup at him. It hit him everywhere, hit him on the shoulder, the arms, it hit the wall. It was a huge mess. It was also...
Do not give it away.
No, I'm not giving it away. Not saying that yet. Don't worry. I know what you're doing.
Make sure you're doing a great job.
But it was also the first bowl of soup out of the pot, so it was extremely hot. He said it was hot as hell, to be exact. But
it's good context.
Very good context there.
Hell's supposed to be hot, yes, according to the book.
Eh.
Now, we don't know what sparked the incident. That's still out there. That they did not get to the bottom to. But we did find out the flavor of soup.
All right. This is huge because from what I understand, has anyone here actually gotten the answer? I didn't. I specifically told everyone I don't want the answer until it's revealed on air. Do you know it?
No clue.
Do you know it?
No, but I
were you even aware of the story up until this point?
No, I was not.
The breaking development.
That's what I told Ann. I said, don't talk about this to anyone. I want this coming out live on the air so we can react instantaneously. A bowl of soup. It was such a great day on this radio program. We spent the whole day speculating on the flavor of soup, how you would throw a bowl of soup. What a tremendous detail. The first bowl out of the pot of soup. Extremely disrespectful to the soup itself. But neither here nor there at the moment. Would anyone like to take some final guesses as to what type of soup J.R. Smith threw at Damian Jones?
I'm just going to go with butternut squash with a possible dollop of sour cream on top if you're so inclined. But I'm going with butternut squash, Joe.
I'm going to lean French onion. I maintain that the cheese on top would make it just extraordinarily disrespectful. You're not just getting hit with the soup. You're also getting hit with cheese. It's messy. It leads to the type of fight that then ends up going national. I feel that if you throw a pea soup at someone, it's kind of just like, who throws pea soup, right? And then you move on. Where are you at? You're this foremost soup expert here.
Yeah, it's probably chili or clam chowder. Yeah.
Chili or clam chowder. You got to pick one, unfortunately.
I'm going to go chili.
Chili. Okay. And can we get a drum roll, please? It feels like this
moment,
a year in the making, is worthy of a drum roll.
It was chicken tortilla soup.
Chicken tortilla. We were all wrong.
Yep.
A bowl of chicken tortilla soup grabbed by J.R. Smith, the first out of the pot to throw at Coach Damian Jones.
That's wild.
Spicy.
I don't know how I feel now that I have the information. It's almost like one of those mysteries I almost wish it probably just would have been a mystery forever. I don't think there's anything that could have been said that would have... Chili would have probably made me laugh, considering that was your guess.
Yeah, I was thinking those guys, you know, they say chili's not a soup, but I was thinking probably chili, JR, brother's like, oh, it looks chili. Like chili, you put the crackers. It's like with soup, you put crackers in soup, you put crackers in chili. So I was thinking, okay, these dudes...
Brothers out here throwing chili all over.
Makes sense, though, because, you know, chicken tortilla is a good soup. It's not going to fill you up too much, but you get some of that flavor with the chicken and the little pieces of tortilla in there. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Naturally, he's got the Chilton Auto Body text line all twisted up because people are now arguing whether or not chili is a soup. That's why I was so happy he picked it. I was like, you got to pick one. He goes, I'll go chili. I was like, yes. I'm pretty sure chili's not even a soup.
I know. I play my role. You understand.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think back to that, getting that news, and we just immediately pivoted the whole show.
Best.
We had to get to the bottom of it. Why would you throw – how do you throw it? Do you throw it underhand? I'm working with the two-year-old now. He's learning how to throw, but you got to put him in a position where he doesn't just, you know, toss it up in the air, step forward and throw. But is it a Frisbee?
No, if you're trying to throw chili and you want it – or a soup.
Let's go with chili. How would you throw chili?
It's underhand because you want to make sure that because the motion of the way you underhand it, the chili will then leave the bowl.
And I like what you're saying.
Slowly going back like a bowling ball so it all stays in there, and then you throw it all together.
And now it moves in one direction.
It's great.
And now it goes out together. Now, if you throw it at someone overhand, it's going to splatter.
Chili everywhere.
Yeah, and the bowl might hit you. But if you lock that bowl in and you throw it underhand, just like with water. When you throw water on people, you don't throw it like that. You throw underhand because
you're of the impression that he didn't let the bowl go.
He did. He did. That was in there. He did let the bowl go. The bowl and the soup, it all went right at him.
Extremely disrespectful.
I'd go shot put. You get it right by the chin and you get that half turn. And like you say, then the soup stays in the bowl and you get the projectile as well. And you get that forward splatter that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's also nice. Mm-hmm. Both nice breakdowns of how to throw a proper bowl of soup.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I just know we still would be fighting today. We'd have moved some furniture.
Yeah, you guys are Mayflower in there. You're moving furniture.
There's no way in the world he plays in that game. There's no way in the world that I'm coaching that game. If someone threw some, man, we moving furniture.
Is there a food that's more disrespectful to throw at someone outside of soup? Or is that the most disrespectful food that you could throw at somebody?
You know what? Don't throw no rib at me, though.
You don't want to get hit with a rib?
Think about barbecue sauce on that. The rib, it's all the
How about this? Let it marinate. We'll come back and we will talk about last night's Warriors game. We got to get ready for Rick Barry, and we will also discuss the worst type of food to throw at someone. What's the most disrespectful type of food you could throw on? 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto by text 95795. Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
And the California Classico is again a Classico.
Mike Trout
has signed the richest contract in sports history. And you heard the breaking news here.
Jeff Passan, ESPN, Mike Trout and the Angels, close to finalizing a 12-year contract worth $430 million. Wow. We just got this news.
Yikes. React. For all the breaking news and instant reactions, keep it locked on 95.7. The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.